when we were out there in the park and in the farmer's market, and I need you to understand, the ground is dirt. There's nothing paved. So it's literally, they wouldn't give us a place big enough for to set up a tent. So we had to have like a 4 foot by 2 foot table up against a tree. Most of y'all saw the pictures. We made it work. We got in there and we did well. I mean, we did well, you know. And why I say well is I went in there with the attitude, you know, because God has changed my perspective. And I hope this blesses some of you, especially you, Celine. God was like, if you make enough to pay your bills, anything above that is a surplus and it's a blessing. Might not be a lot right now, but if you say, God, I trust you to provide. So we had already discovered that in that farmer's market, 4 bottles covered our table for the day, right? $45. Ground is dirty, filthy. If it started raining, we would have just been up the creek because there's, and you know, when Florida rains, it rains. And we would have nowhere to go. We wouldn't have been able to cover our stuff or more. Like we were out in the bare elements. The last day we were there, the sun was so bright, like it was so hot that like she was standing there literally sweating. It was just like, it was just like, enjoyed it. Sold bottles, consistently made a profit, always did over a good amount over what our expected was for the day. God says to me, and God is funny, you know how God is. He says to me, I had gone there to that mall to take Corey to get his driver's license. And I looked around, I said, wow, this is an interesting location. I saw hair stores and salons all over the place. And I woke up this day and God said to me, go to the ghetto mall. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's kind of a step down from Coconut Grove. And he said, just go. I had never been inside, I had only been outside. So I go there without Nelly and I walk through the place, and it's gold teeth shops all over the place with diamonds in it, and like hair extension weaves of all kind, and then like this like clothing stores that straight hoochie clothes. It's like they should call it the hoochie store. Like everything is barely open, and you know, body suits that has only strings around it. You know, it's the hoochie store for sure. It's like straight up, and I'm walking around there and I'm looking at all of it. Oh, and then there's some African stores that have some really nice stuff, right? So there you have it. Like everything that you could possibly want to be hood, you want. They literally had on a sign, sale, 3 gold fronts for $200. Like they literally were selling you. You know, and I said, okay. And he said, I want you guys to set up here. So I went to find out who the manager was. Now, everybody in there is black. The manager is Hispanic and very, I don't want to say nothing nasty, but that kind of, I'm the N-word gatekeeper. So he had that kind of personality, very pushy, very arrogant, very, you know, harsh the way he spoke. Well, if you want a spot over there, it's going to cost this, and then da, 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 and you have to bring this much money, and you got to put this down. I said, okay, well, let me take a look. And, you know, so when I came back to him, he told me it would be $500 a month, which to me was amazing because he was paying $45 a day for one day. And I came back, and I hope the story keeps your interest because it shows you process and progress. When I came back, it was now $800 a month. And I'm gonna need a cashier's check or money, or I don't take checks, and I don't take Zelle, and I don't take PayPal, and I don't take the Cash App. And I mean, he's just like reading me the list, right? And I guess it was a good place to be offended because he was talking down to me. You know what I mean? But because of where I am right now, and you know, sometimes you don't see God's deliverance too. you get in that place. And he's talking to me like he's talking to a child. And I said, so wait a minute. So every month I have to go get a cashier's check to pay the rent? He said, well, you could pay with a business check one time. But after that, if you mess up and you mess up, and they ever bounce, that's it. You never get to do it again. And just a piece in my spirit, I looked at him and said, yo, who hurt you, bro? Like, I just asked him, yo, who hurt you? Like, you know, like, you've been hurt. Like, and he was like, he had to laugh himself. He tried to keep his military face, but he had to bust out laughing, right? And he said, no, ain't nobody hurt me. You know, I'm just kind of have to let it, you know, just have to explain how it works. And I'm like, okay, but you explaining it like a jaded lover, bro. You've been through some things. And he just laughed. And so here's where the story ends and begins. When I came there the first time, I spoke to the gentleman who had this whole big area. It was a jewelry counter. He sold jewelry and he sold, you know, the fake perfume oils, the oils that smell like perfume. You know, the Muslims be on the street corner with the different like scents. And he was there and he was just talking up a storm, running his mouth, talking to this young lady. I happened to come over and ask him some questions about the mall and how long you've been here. And I asked quite a few people, because even though it's a ghetto mall, everybody I spoke to was like, oh yeah, I've been here 5 years, or I've been here 6 years. So then you making your money then. Oh yeah, absolutely. So you're getting paid. And then of course the Chinese downstairs got like six jewelry counters, six jewelry stores right across and all around each other. I showed you guys that on the video. So I'm asking the right questions. Are you listening to me? I'm asking the people there how long you've been here. So there's good foot traffic. So you're making money. So the security guy says, when I told him what we had, he said, you're going to make more money here off the vendors than you're going to make off of customers, because they're, every place in here is a hair place and there's nothing like what you have here. Now, here's my point to this story. After I finished talking to the manager, I had already been talking to the guy with the counter. And of course, I wound up doing what I do. I wound up ministering to him because he was talking some stuff that was just, you know, out there about God and whatever. So he decided he's calling me pastor. I told him what my name was, and I told him I'm calling. He is not receiving that in his spirit. Hey, pastor, how you doing? Hey, pastor, can I ask you a question? He's not having it. It's pastor to him. And God said, leave him alone. Let him call you pastor. So after I finished with the guy going on and who hurt you and all that, I was ready to leave. He called me over. He said, listen, I want us to work together. And I said, okay, like how? Why don't you just take this spot? And he was trying to give me the whole spot, the whole kiosk, 500 a month. I said, well, wait a minute, how much you paying? I know you got to be paying around $2,000 a month or somewhere like that for this. He said, don't worry about that. I'm going to move to another place. And I said to him, no, you give me half and you take half, but you got to stay here because the management might have a problem with you subletting. So he said, okay, we did the deal. We talked about it first. And we, you know, then when Nelly came with me, we prayed about it and we decided to do the deal. Here's my point. And it's a long point. It was a long point, but here's the close. We started walking around Aventura Mall, which is a very prestigious mall with all high-end stuff in it. You know, from Louis Vuitton to Dior to everything, an Apple store and everything you can get. You understand what I'm saying? High-end mall. We go from there to a mall called Sawgrass, which is not as high-end. It's a little lower, but still, It's a prestigious mall, because we got caught by security selling oils in Aventura and they threw us out. So we went to Sawgrass and we're selling there. I know that there's a shelf life to that. We go from there because Nelly will only walk up to and attempt to sell to people of color because she was uncomfortable walking up to white people. Then we go to Coconut Grove, where the majority of the people there are white. So now Nelly gets to break her fear, or has to break her fear, of selling to white people because that's predominantly the customer. And she does it, and I do it. I'm selling too, which is different for me standing in the street. You gotta understand this, Jesus. I'm just gonna go with the Holy Spirit on this. I hope I'm teaching you something. This is almost gonna becoming like a vision builders. I don't need to stand in the street and sell bottles of oil. You do understand that, right? I'm financially in a place that I don't have to stand in the street, in the mall, getting chased out by cops, standing in the dirty Coconut Grove. I don't have to do this. Yet I have to do it. And what I saw God do through every step, listen to me close. It didn't go like this in terms of prestige and how it looked. It went like this. We went from Aventura to Sawgrass to Coconut Grove, which kind of on the same level, to the ghetto mall. Wait, God, we were here, and now we're here. But what's being done is I'm being taught, and she's being taught, there's a world of people you need to reach of all kinds, shapes, races, financial backgrounds, and everything. And you have an international product, and you need to be able to talk to everybody on every level. In every situation, even though it looked like you started from the top and you wouldn't, no. Because those people that have been out there in Coconut Grove for 8 and 9 years with their kiosks, I mean, with their stands that they got to set up and take down every week, we got in 4 weeks our own store, our own stand. We didn't have to put any money out. The guy said, "You don't have to give me any money out of your pocket. Just pay me $500 a month and just go ahead and set up." Gave us three showcases and said, "It's yours. Go for it." Now, he's been coming to me since we've been here, like, "Your guys, you're doing good. You're not playing, man. I want to learn from y'all." He's had his thing for 9 years. But he's saying, "Man, when you go to the top," somebody came up to us, which we go to court this week, walked up to us while we're in Sawgrass and asked, "Can he invest in us? He wants to be a partner." I don't know. I don't think he got that kind of money. He got a job. But what he's saying is, and what many people are saying is, I see where this is going. And a few people have said, "How do I get in? Can I get a cut? Because I can see that this is going to be big." When we showed up with our t-shirts on and we matching when we had on our outfit and we had our stuff and I set up the counter, he said, "Yo, Pastor, you doing this big?" No, I just sat, laid it out simple. It was nothing that crazy. But our influence, the way we look to people when we follow God, looks always way bigger than what it is in our minds and hearts. And I want us talking about this dynamic explosion. I want us all, listen to me, Q. I want us all to start to take in the spirit, not how we see ourselves, but how God is making people see us. See, Gideon was hiding in the wine press, scared of for his life to have to go face the Midianites. But the Midianites were already walking around panic saying, "They're going to come and take over the land. They're going to destroy us." And he didn't see what God made them see. And a lot of times we don't see what God makes us look like to them. They look at us and we're larger than life. We're coming to take over the world. And we're looking at the bank account going, "I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't have what he has, and I don't." Well, you have something that they don't have, and this may sound corny and cliche, but you have an anointing. You have the presence and power of God on you, and that makes what you have more powerful than all that they have in the bank, all the connections they have, all of the friends that they have, and all of the people that we know. God had me bring Nelly out here, and in an instant, we developed a community that supports the product and loves the product. And loves the person and wants to be behind the person and wants to know how they can get involved and invest. And I mean, not seeking anybody, they're coming to us because they're looking at us saying, "You guys, it's about to blow up, and we want to know how we can get involved." I've watched people with UQ. I watch these wealthy people that love you and want to work with you. And I would say to you, why do you think God's putting you around these people? To look up to them? They're looking at you. When anytime a wealthy man says, "Train me," I don't care if it's boxing, jogging, or jump roping. Whenever somebody of stature or wealth look at you and say, "Give me something you got," in that instant, he's put you, she's put you over them. And we're looking at them like, "Wow, oh my God, oh wow." And they're looking at you like, "Man, I just want what you got." So my prayer today, this wasn't supposed to be the message, but I still got some scripture. My prayer is that we begin to see ourselves the way God sees us. And even if you can't see it, just know it. Well, that sounds like a quote. Even if you can't see it, just know it. Because the power is not our perception of ourselves, Karen. The power is the perception that God has put on us. It doesn't matter how we see ourselves. It matters how God sees us, and we need to align with that. So I don't go by what's in my bank account. I don't go by what I do have and what I don't have. I go by what he said about me. And what he said about me is, "You're more than conquerors. You're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. They will come against you in one direction and scatter in seven." These are biblical principles that are real, real principles, but they don't work in the book. They only work when you pull them out the book, put it into your spirit, and then step out into the world with it. I watched, and I'm watching, and those who are on the team with me, you know. By the way, we're like up to 1,500 people already, like in a week on TikTok. We're like around 1,500 people right now. And what it was a couple of weeks ago, we were 125, like 2 weeks ago. Okay, look at what God will do. And what did we do? We got on the thing and I spoke it. Oh, we're gonna have that 1,000 before the day is out. It hasn't stopped. It keeps going. I think that video is up to over 100 some thousand views right now, 120,000 views right now. What's the difference between yesterday and today? Because it was a one-day thing. It wasn't, yeah, you got to work at it and grind. I always tell you, no, it's an opportunity. It's one moment. You prepare, and I shared that with you last week, and then that moment shows itself, and then you're there and you're ready for it. My word to every one of you today is this. It ain't nothing different than what I've ever said to you. You're greater than your perception of yourself. You're greater than what the world has told you you are. And if you had family that put you down or didn't really encourage you, I would say this. You're greater than what they've said about you. And they can't say anything different about you, and they couldn't because they can't see past who they are. It's impossible for somebody to speak over you that greatness is you going out and pursuing this dream and becoming great when all they've ever done their whole life is work a 9 to 5. They can't be upset with them. They can't give you what they don't have, and they can't sell to you a vision that they've never seen. And if God is having trouble getting you to see it and he gave it to you, what makes you think they can see it when he didn't give it to them? Ooh, that's another quote. But you understand what I'm saying? This is the season and time that we're in. And whoever was genius enough to hit that record button, God bless your heart. I'm going to read a scripture. Hebrews chapter 4. And let me see what version I want to read it in. I'm gonna leave it in the Amplified Classic. It's a little wordy, but it gets the point across. I'm in Hebrews chapter 4. I'm doing verses 1, 2, 3. Therefore, while the promise of entering into his rest still holds and is offered today, let us be afraid. Let us be afraid to distrust it, lest any of us should think he has come too late and has come short of reaching it. I'm going to read that again slowly, and then I'm going to explain it. I might read it from another translation as well, but let's do it this. Therefore, while the promise of entering to his rest still holds and is offered today, listen to that part. Therefore, while the promise of entering into his rest, somebody say entering into his rest, still holds and is offered today, let us be afraid to distrust it. There's a whole message in that sentence. It holds, it still exists today. You should not be afraid of it not happening. You should be afraid to distrust it. If God said he supplies your needs according to his riches and glory, you should be afraid to distrust that. If he says he's wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, the chastisement of your peace is upon him, and by his stripes you are healed and made whole, that promise still holds today. And what you should fear is not it not working for you. What you should fear is not trusting that. What he's saying is the danger is not in God may not answer. The danger is in you not trusting that promise, which still holds today. All the promises of God are yea and amen. And what he's saying is what you need to be concerned about is not God being unfaithful to his word, but your lack of trust in his word. Did you catch it now? Our biggest problem is we're concerned if God will do what he said and distrust his word. That's where the problem is. So he said, I'm still me. The promise is still real. It's still real today. What scripture have you been standing on and believing and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting? It looked like it's taking forever. And God said, listen, I need you to fear not trusting that the promise is still here, alive and well. Whew. Did you catch that? Who did that speak to? By hand. Who said that was my word? Right. Don't fear what could happen. Don't fear what the world might do. Don't fear the economy. Don't fear President Trump. Don't fear Joe Biden. Don't fear that. Fear not trusting my promise. I'll keep going. But that right there hit me like in the chest. Okay, so he said, the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today. Let us be afraid to distrust it, lest any of you should think he has come too late and has come short of reaching it. Look who he's putting the emphasis on. You, your trust. Well, I'm too old now. I don't know if it ever could happen for me. I probably missed my opportunity. He said that's what distrusting will do. Whether you've been waiting 10 years, 15 years, or one. Are you hearing this? This is a powerful revelation right here today. This is a powerful revelation. Okay, let me stop talking. Let me finish reading. Lest any of you should think he has come too late and has come short of reaching it. For indeed, say indeed. What does indeed mean? For sure, absolutely. We have had the glad tidings, the gospel of God proclaimed to us as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. I want you to pay attention to what I just read. He just said, this good news, glad tidings of the gospel is the same as that exact promise as his promise to deliver Israel. He said it's the same. It's no different. Well, what's his track record look like? What's God's track record look like? Has he been faithful to it when you read the scripture? Have you seen it? I'm not talking about right now in your life. We're not even touching on that. He's making a comparison. Look at my track record. Look at my resume. Look at what I've done. I want you to never get to the place that you think your time is past and that can't happen because I'm faithful. Some of you are going to get this. I'm faithful to what I promised, and your biggest concern should be you questioning if what I said is true. I said it. I said I'll provide your needs according. Well, I haven't seen it yet. Well, your concern is not, is he working or is he faithful? Your concern is, have you lost your belief in his promise? Well, it's not working. Well, it's not working because you've decided it's not. I know I'm beating it in, but that's the message. I mean, I could stop there. So he said, this is the same glad tidings the gospel proclaimed to us as truly as the Israelites did of old when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? For indeed, we have had glad tidings, the gospel of God proclaimed to us as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from Egypt and bondage came to them. Just he's saying, so my promise to you today is just as sure as my promise to them was then. And even though they freaked out and flaked and didn't believe, I still did it and I'm still doing it. Let's go back to the first verse. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today, no different than what I promised Israel and it manifested like I said it would, so is the promise offered to you today. Take a moment and meditate on that. What promise has he made to you? He's saying it's still offered to you today just as sure as that promise back then was. So I want you to take a minute and just address personally within yourself any fears or thoughts or doubts that have been taking up residence in your brain rent-free for however many years they have. I want you to take a minute right now and just deal with it and talk out to God. I can't hear you, so I don't have to know your business, but take a minute and say to God, you know, that I believe, help my unbelief. Right here, I doubt. Right here, I'm not as confident as I should be. Right here, I do question and double think and think that the offer is not available to me today. I messed up. I mixed it up. I did it wrong. I ain't got a chance now for you. I just want you to take a moment and just talk to Daddy about that and just say, okay, here I am. Fix it. Here I am. Check me. Here I am. Get my faith back where it needs to be, or if not back there for the first time. Because I need to believe that your promise still holds today. For me, this is one of the most powerful revelations I ever got from the word. And I've got some powerful stuff. When I saw this, I said, you're talking something different right now, God. You're talking something really, really, really deep in the spirit. And this is where dynamic explosion comes from. Understanding that his promises still hold true and are available when he said today, not in the future, in God's time, when the Lord is ready, you just don't know what Jesus is going to do. He said it's available today. I want you to just pay attention to the detail of what God is speaking to you right now. When is it available? Today. Now, I know God gonna make a way, you know. You know, no. He said that promise is true and is available today. So when he says, go walk around the mall, okay, she's afraid of the people of a different color. Take her here to this market where she don't have to face only them. Okay, now go to the hood market. And in every place he's sending us, she's prospering. I'm watching her become more confident. I'm becoming more confident. I'm doing a physical product, which I've never done. I'm watching her become a different person as a result. She'll walk up to anybody right now. She don't care, a cop on the street, somebody getting put into the ambulance. You need some, your hair looking dry getting in that ambulance. We need to, you want to get some oil? You know, and I'm watching that come out of her because she's stepping out and just obeying God today. I'll tell you something that I haven't told you. It's private, but me and Nelly have had major conflict, to the point that I was questioning if we were even going to be together. Not because she was immoral, not because she was irrational, but she just seemed to have this fear that everything that was a little bit, well, you got 3 new followers, that's good. And I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? And I can tell it wasn't like, you know, praise God for the small beginning, you know, despise not small beginnings. It was more from accepting that this was a move. And I was like, if this is the level you're walking on, we can't, maybe we reached the end of our journey. Because my thought is like, no, I'm expecting dynamic explosion. And if you're not there with me, then we can't walk this out together. So what God has done is he has put her in the place where she's seen, oh, wow, this, oh, wow, a victory here. Oh, wow, this, oh, wow. You know how long God has had me talking to her about this oil? Years. We're just doing it now, but it's been years. Almost since I met her, saying you'll know that. You need to come out from behind this chair and have a product. But stepping out in it, she's seeing the today God. She's watching it. She's seeing it with her own eyes. Now her conversation is different. She's like, come back on. Well, I only did 10. I'm like, I'm the one going, but that's good. You know, the roles are reversed. I'm saying, yeah, we're going to do more, but this is something to rejoice about. So listen to God. All the promises are still yea and amen. I'm going to bring it home. I'm going to bring it home. I'm going to bring it home. There's more to it. We're going to pick it up next week. But I'm going to read number 2 again. I can't even get past these 2. For indeed, we have had glad tidings, good news, the gospel of God proclaimed to us just as truly as the Israelites of old did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. Watch this. But the message that they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith, with leaning on the entire personality of God in absolute trust and confident in his power, wisdom, and goodness. I cannot go any further today because we'll be on here for another hour. But here's what I just said, and what I'm saying to you, even what I said to you today, and all the stuff you heard, and you clapped and smiled and sent me hearts just now, all that, listen to me close. He said that word didn't mean anything because it was not mixed with faith. Be careful that you haven't gotten to the place that you think that it's too late and the time has passed. I've had to counsel Lindsay off the shelf, off the rooftop on so many of the same issues over and over and over again. I'm not going to go into it, but you know I do. Right? And some of you, the same thing over and over. But I told you, I explained it, and God showed me today. He said they heard it, they were encouraged, they cried, they clapped, everything they did in emotion, but they didn't mix it in faith, and that's why it profited them nothing. That's why they got to come back to you again to be encouraged again. That's why you got to pray for them again over the same thing again and again and again. He said, because the word given to them must be mixed in faith for it to manifest. You have to come on. I'm preaching now. You have to come to God and say, I heard that word. It made me laugh. It made me cry. It made me jump around. It made me dance. Now I need to bring it to you so you can bring that ingredient and pour it in there that I may not have. I need some faith mixed into this business now. I need some faith mixed into this dream right now. I need some faith mixed into this direction right now. To stay in this place you're telling me to go, that I don't know nobody and no way I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do it, and who I got to know. And all I need is faith that what you said is still available to me today, as you promised it, and it's still functioning, and it's just as powerful as your promise to Israel when you said you would bring them out of bondage. I need you to hear what I'm saying today. And he said, and then you get that word, and then you come back to God and say, God, give me the necessary faith I need to stay in the place I need to stay so that I can see the manifestation of your promise, because the word will not profit you anything. I don't care how excited you are. I don't care how many prophetic conferences you go to and people speak over you. Oh, that's a confirmation. Oh, my God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, 3 other pastors have said that. Max, actually 5. And yes, hallelujah, I'm simply. He said, yeah, but he says it's available today. But the problem is, it's not mixed with faith, so it's not profiting anything. Once you get that word, once I get that word, we have a responsibility to mix it in faith. So when God says, go to the ghetto mall, I get up and go to the ghetto mall. This don't look like where we should be. This is like a step down from where we are, but we did better here than we did in any other place. And ain't nobody going to chase us out. And we can build the brand and get known and still have a consistent income while we go to the next levels. And if God speaks to me next month and says, okay, you leaving there, and now you're going back to the hood and staying on the corner, that's what I'm going to do. Because that's what the word requires, that I mix the word he gives me with faith and steps out. So God will tell you, step out, leave that place. Celine's famous for that. I'm moving here. I'm going here. Where you going? I'm going down here. Charlotte, right? A lot of people look at it like, who you know in Charlotte? You don't know nobody in Charlotte. Like, what you going to do down there? I don't know. God told me to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to open a craft store. What she know about a craft store? She's illegal. But God says, go there. And she does it. Well, it may look at times, my dear daughter, like it's not happening. But if God told you to go, you got to believe that word, that today it's available. And his promise is still radiant and alive and strong. And then all of us be ready to move when he says move. I can't say this to you guys enough. Step to the left, step to the right. But I'm dependent on this. You're supposed to be depending on me. Oh. That's an ouch for some of us, but I will act like it is not. But God, this is where my income is coming from right now. No, your income comes from me. Well, if I do this, then how am I going to pay for that? You not. I'm going to. Oh, you're too stiff right now. Your face too stiff right now. You need to be jumping and shouting and doing something, because I'm speaking life to you. All the promises of God are yea and amen. But what I want to give to you today is that they're still alive and they're still active. And they're just as sure as the promise he made to Israel. And the fact that he used that as a point is powerful. I hope you caught it. He said, I got document. I got proof. I got history of how I deliver. And I'm telling you, it's still active today. And it's still alive today. And if you would just mix it with faith, you would see my manifestation for your life. I rested right here. I'm going to say something I ain't said in a long time. May the word that you heard bring God's blessings to you. Amen. We're going to pick this up next week. Love you guys.